Hey, great to be back this morning and looking at God's Word again. In our journey through the Transformation Track, which has been a series at the Lakes this year, we've looked into the essence of Jesus' character, his teachings, and we've been aiming to align our hearts and minds and actions with his life. And there's been many challenges for me. I trust there have been for you, as Jeff and Laura and many others have brought the Word of God to us. We've looked under the themes of repentance and renewal, generosity, sacrifice, prayer, handling God's Word, and now under the banner of cultivating community, we continue to think about, examine how transformed lives dedicated to Jesus can show God's love to the world and how it's life at its best when we obey God. We have got so much to sing about and celebrate as we think about who our Savior is. And we've just been singing, what a magnificent song. If you've been forgiven, if you've been redeemed, sing the song forever to the Lamb. If you walk in freedom, if you bear his name, we'll sing the song forever and amen. Holy, holy forever is our God. If you've been forgiven, if you've been redeemed, you have so much, we have so much to praise God for. Community and a sense of belonging is something we all need, and most people want it, in varying degrees, of course, you know, but we all want community. And community comes from having something in common that we share. We have our work communities, our school communities, our sporting communities, maybe arts and music, our neighbourhoods. But you know, with those communities, there's something about them. We tend to drift in and out of communities as our interests and our circumstances change. But as followers of Christ, we have something in common that never, ever changes. It's eternal. And when we hold that central to our thinking and our life, the community we're in stays, and our connections grow deep. We can build deep connection and relationship because when we're centered around Christ, that will never go away. In the book of Acts, we read about the early church as it was forming, and we read these words in Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. They didn't just fill hampers, they did that. That's amazing. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The early church had real community. Central to it was focusing on Jesus Christ, his teaching through the apostles, instruction on what it means to live as a believer of Jesus, fellowship, participation in each other's lives, sharing deeply, eating together, praying together. And the result of doing that was a community that was seen to love each other, care for each other, and attracted others to it. And God's name was worshipped and praised so much. And this is what it means to be the church. As we talked about earlier in the year, we don't come to church, we are the church, and when we come together, we are the church gathering in a place to worship God. The community that follows Jesus is a community that lasts. There's numerous verses in the Bible about living in community, and it's a reality that it shows to us that it's not going to be smooth if we all live together, because you see, we're still here on this earth and we're not perfect yet. The verses in the Bible acknowledge that we're frail. We read in Ephesians chapter 4 this: be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. In Colossians 3 we read: bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. I just said the church is an amazing place. A community centered around Christ will be an awesome place to be. Yes, it will be. But guess what? It won't be a perfect place. And as we gather and we're a community together, the Word of God says to us, remember that. Remember that you've been forgiven much, and remember as you walk with those who are seeking after Jesus, to do the same to them. Hebrews chapter 10, let us consider how we can spur each other on to love, towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. To be part of a community that shares all things, is kind, compassionate, loving, encourages each other, sounds a pretty cool community to be part of, a great place to be. And these verses are really good advice, aren't they? It's just this, how is this sort of community possible? I mean, you don't know how awkward some of the people in this church are. I mean, how can I forgive them? I mean, Jeff's okay, but, you know, he is Australian. Oh, sorry, so is most of you. There's some Kiwis in here, and you've got to love them too. How is it possible to live in community as broken, fallen human beings? How can we do what these verses have just asked us to do? Well, the verses preceding those verses that we've just plucked out tell us that living in community is about God more than it is about us. When we look at the verses preceding these instructions about living like this, we're reminded that God's great love shown to us in the Lord Jesus Christ is why we are together. It's because of the blessing and privilege of God that we can be together, and because of the Holy Spirit that dwells in our life, that we can live as we are instructed to. At the beginning of Ephesians chapter 4, it says this, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, you have been saved by grace. It is a gift of God. The position we're in this community is all because of Jesus and not because of us. In Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 it starts off and it says, since you have been raised with Christ, since you have been lifted out of sin, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And in Hebrews chapter 10, before that verse we just read, it said, we have confidence to enter the most holy place because by the blood of Jesus we have been made right. Growing deep connections and great community comes from knowing that I am saved by the work of Jesus Christ and nothing else. I am being saved. I'm not perfect yet. God is doing a work of transformation in me. And I will be saved from the presence of sin when Jesus comes again and reigns. We're saved from the penalty of sin the moment we believe in Jesus. We're being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit as we live for Him. That's why I'm being saved. And one day, I will be perfect, and you won't have to forgive me anymore. When we remember that everybody in the Christian community that we're part of, these statements are true of them, it enables us to walk together, doesn't it? And not take offense when things go wrong. But understand that transformation, becoming like Christ, is a journey. When we're cultivating deep connections in the church, it's a result not of doing things with each other, but of drawing closer to God. I found this famous artist to draw this picture for us. You know, as we draw closer to God, we'll draw closer to each other. If we want to have deeper community with each other, then let's draw closer to God. Do what He instructs in His Word, and guess what? It'll happen. This isn't about human striving. This is about the grace of God. It's really simple. The Bible tells us it's simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. Let's read from Ephesians chapter 4 and 5 and hear what God's word has to say. As I was trying to prepare the message, I was going all over the show. And I came back to this and saying the word of God is powerful. Let's read the word of God and just listen to that. And so I want to read you quite a lot of scripture this morning and trust that God speaks to me and to you as we read it. If we're going to draw closer to God, closer to each other and be the community that he wants us to be to show his love to the world. Then, as Paul writes, in the light of all this in Ephesians chapter 4, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get out there and walk, better yet run, on the road that God has called you to travel. Don't sit around in your hands. Don't stroll off down any path that you like. But pour yourselves out for each other in acts of love, alert to noticing any differences and mending any fences that are broken. Verse 4, you were called to travel on the same road together in a community, in the same direction. Both outwardly and inwardly, you have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all who rules over all. Verse 17, I insist on this, and God backs me up. Don't go back and go along with what the world's doing. The world that doesn't know God, the empty-headed, mindless crowd, they've refused to deal so long with God. They've lost touch not only with God but with reality itself. They can't think straight anymore. Having lost all sensitivity, they let themselves go into sexual obsession, addicted to every sort of perversion. But that's not the life for us who've learned Christ. Verse 20, since then we know that we don't have any excuse of ignorance. Everything connected with the old way of life, what the devil tempts us to do, is rotten through and through. We need to get rid of it out of our lives and take on an entirely new life, a God-fashioned life, renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. No more lies, no more pretense. Tell your neighbor the truth. In Christ's body, we're all connected to each other. After all, when you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. Verse 29, watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps, each word a gift to build others up. Let's not grieve God, break his heart. His Holy Spirit is moving and breathing in you, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Make a clean break with all backbiting, profane, malicious talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive, forgive one another as quickly and as thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. Nothing complicated so far, is it? It's all quite simple. But how are we doing? Let's watch what God does, chapter 5, and then do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents, mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with God. Learn the life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but in order to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. Verse 3, among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Those who follow Jesus have better uses for language than that. There should be no obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For you can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. The bright light of Christ makes your way plain, so no more stumbling around. Get on with it, the right, the good, the true. Figure out what pleases Christ, then do it. Verse 12, it's shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret. Verse 15 of chapter 5, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Don't be foolish. Don't live carelessly or unthinkingly, but understand God's will. Don't get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another, the Word of God. Sing hymns and songs. Be joyful about what God has done. Make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to Ephesians chapter 4 and 5, to cultivate deep community and connection within the church, to live a life worthy of the calling we have received. There's a whole lot of stuff we should shun and a whole lot of stuff we should do. And the power of the Holy Spirit enables us to do that. Colossians chapter 3 says this: since you have been raised with Christ, saved from your sins, set your heart on things above. Think about Christ seated at the right hand of God. Think about the things of God, not about everything that's trying to grab your attention on this earth. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. Verse 5. What does this mean? It means killing off everything connected with the way of death. Sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like it, when you feel like it, and whatever grabs your attention. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of God. It's because of this kind of thing that God's anger and wrath will come on the world. It wasn't long ago, before we didn't know Christ, that we were doing these things. But now we know better. So make sure it's all gone for good. Bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, dirty talk. It's pretty straight, isn't it? The Word of God is so straight. And it makes a lot of sense. There's a verse here that I really wanted to pick up on today. It says, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ. When we're baptized, as two people were last week, we symbolize that we have died to our old life, it's buried, and we're raised to life with Christ to walk in a new life. It's a concept and term that we read often in the Bible. In Romans chapter 6, we read, those who have trusted in Jesus, you died to sin, so how can you live in it any longer? When we've died to sin, we've been separated from it. When we've come to trust Christ and made him Lord of our lives, we are freed from the power of sin over us. Isn't that amazing? We are freed from the power of sin over us, and by the power of the Holy Spirit can choose to live for him and live a holy life. One day we're going to be freed from the presence of sin and won't be tempted to sin. But today we are freed from its power. You know, nothing is more unresponsive than a dead body. Tania may say a snoring husband comes close to it. But enough prodding will usually get me to turn over and shut up. But when you prod a dead body, you won't get any reaction or response from it. And the Word of God says, you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ. Our lives should be like that, that when sin pokes us, there is no response because we're living for God. We know that the Bible says that we've been freed from sin, that anyone who's identified with Christ and put their faith in him has had their old self crucified, and they have been set free from the bondage of sin. They're great words, but how about you? Do you know that for real in your life? Is it your experience every day that you're free from the power of sin? Is it your experience every day that you say no to sin? Well, sadly for me, it's not the case, because I give in. Sometimes it doesn't feel like I'm freed from the power of sin, because my flesh takes over and I give in to it. But I want to let you know that feelings are beside the point right now. Whether you feel like it or not, if you are saved and have Jesus in your life, you are free from the power of sin. God's word says it. Our salvation doesn't depend on feelings, it depends on the Word of God. And just as we took God at his word when we got saved, we must take God at his word as we live for him and receive by faith the victory that God has already obtained for us. Feelings are secondary, and that's not a rash statement. There's a lot of life that proves that. Think about this. A certain man was used to getting up at 6 a.m. to get off to work by 7. One night, the kids in his house had been restless and up all night, and he was just getting off to a deep sleep when the alarm clock went. He asked his wife if it was 6 o'clock, and she said it was, but he said it didn't feel like it. The point being, it didn't feel like 6 o'clock. The sun, the moon, the stars, the earth in its orbit, the solar system declared it was 6 o'clock, but to him, it didn't feel like it was. And it's the same with this verse. We might not feel like our life is died and hidden now in Christ, that I am free in Christ, but God declares that it is so. We're kind of slow to grasp that fact, aren't we? That we're dead to sin and it doesn't have any power over us anymore. There was a couple of guys, Paddy and Mike, and they found this really unusual turtle. It was a bit of a sad case because its head had been chopped off, but for somehow it was running around. Its head was here and its body was still running, and the turtle was going round and round in circles as though nothing had happened. So Paddy said, this turtle is dead because its head separated. But Mike denied it and he said, no, because it's running. So they argued until O'Brien came along and they asked O'Brien to pass judgment. And he looked at this turtle and he looked at the head and he said, this is remarkable. What we have here is a turtle that's dead, but it doesn't believe it. And that's exactly the problem that we can fall into. Our old self is dead and there is no power of sin over our lives. But when I fail to grasp the truth of that reality from God, I fail to say no to sin. When we appreciate this truth fully and unreservedly, belief breaks sin's stranglehold on us and we're free to walk in the freedom that God wants us to. And as we walk in the freedom that God wants us to and we draw closer to him, we'll draw closer to each other. Colossians chapter 3 verse 9 goes on to say this. Comes up again. It was in Ephesians. It says it in Colossians. Don't lie to each other. You're done with that old life. It's a filthy, old, ill-fitting clothes that you've been stripped off and thrown away. You've got a new wardrobe. Every item in your new way of life is fashioned by the Creator. It has his label on it. All the fashions are now obsolete. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. So chosen by God for this new life, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. With compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, and discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and as completely as the Master has forgiven you. And regardless of what else you do, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Be prepared to take second place. Forgive those who offend you. You know, forgiveness initiated by a wounded party is an expression of God's character. It's a trait that makes the new covenant community stand out from the world of resentment and revenge that typifies and vilifies so many human relationships. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other and step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing, and cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct, direct one another using good common sense. And sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. Can we just have that last slide there, please, Noah? Let the peace of Christ rule in you. Cultivate thankfulness and let the word of Christ dwell in you. If we're going to be a community with a deep connection, this is what we need to do. And it's an incredible privilege to be part of God's community, made possible through the love of Jesus. It's exciting, challenging, and this is what we were made to be. Drawing near to God, holding on to hope and encouraging one another is an amazing place to be in. Instructing each other in the ways of God is not dull and boring. It's exciting. It's about reminding us of the reality of God's goodness and results in praise to God and celebration of who he is. You know, we've read some really, really straight words. And we live in a world that wants us to go away from God and seek after everything it promises. Let us understand and know those are lies. And what God wants us is to clothe ourselves with love and seek after Him to find life that is truly life. Let's build our lives on Him and praise Him for who He is. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we come before you today, not because of who we are, but only because of who you are, and only because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who made it possible for us to be put right with you. Thank you that we could remember his death and his resurrection and his love for us today as we took communion. And Father, as we consider this week, Lord, I pray that the words of Ephesians, the words of Colossians that you want each of us to hear will keep resonating in our minds. And Lord, by your Holy Spirit, empower us to praise your name and live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.